A hot summer afternoon, a minor league ballpark.
Fans take time out for a great tasting Pete's and Watson hot dog, the official hot dog of the Frederick Keys.
We've come to Frederick, Maryland, the home of the Frederick Keys, to pay attention to signs in baseball, the silent coded messages that flash across the ball field from catcher to pitcher or from a base coach to a batter or runner. You've seen these signs, the catcher who pumps his fingers between his legs in a blisteringly fast sequence to signal a pitch, the coach who does a mad dance, tugging an ear, patting his belt buckle, pulling down his cap. All of it means something.
All of this stuff is glue. It's sort of the glue that holds the game together.
Writer Paul Dixon's latest book is called The Hidden Language of Baseball. It's all about that code, that semaphore, how it works, why it's so important. And he describes the lengths or depths that teams will go to decode or steal the other team's signs. Paul Dixon calls signs the central nervous system of the game.
The central nervous system, I mean, without it, there would be chaos. There wouldn't be a double steal. There wouldn't be a hit-and-run play. There wouldn't be the same dynamism. And the signals are ricocheting back and forth. And in a close game, there are going to be 1,000 signals.
Baseball signals can be traced back to battlefield signs used during the Civil War. There's a reference to telegraphic signals in baseball as early as 1869, as easily recognized as if spoken words were used. But not so easily recognized at this Keys game against the Potomac Cannons. The Cannons' third base coach is a perpetual motion machine, a dervish of signs.
He touched his belt, he touched his chest, he touched his arm, touched his chin, and in rapid sequence, I probably missed a couple of them. Now he's a whole series of signs with a guy at first, including an uplifted palm, which is I've never seen, I don't think.
It looked like he was juggling there for a second.
Or begging for alms or something. There's no signs jail where you go if you come up with a sign that's unconventional. I mean,
do whatever you want.
You can do anything you want.
Before the game, we asked the Keys manager, Tom Lawless, what the tools are in his arsenal.
Oh, you got your hat, you got your ears, you got your nose, you got your chin, you got your chest, you got your legs, you got your belt buckle, you got all kinds of those places. You got your arms. Touch anything you want.
But the thing is, it's not just body parts. It's gestures, position. The sequence matters. Only the last thing touched might count, or the first. It's all part of an intricate code.
You know, people say that they can pick up your signs. Well, you got to be pretty good at picking up signs. If somebody down there is flashing a whole lot of signs, you got no chance. You got no chance. I mean, you can go to the front of the coach's box and the sign's on. If I go to the back of the coaching box and put the same sign on, it's not on.
So it's where you're standing and what you're doing.
Well, it could be. It could be.
You're not telling.
I'm not telling. Never give away secrets.
It's the top of the first inning. The Cannons have a runner on first. The third base coach flashes a sign.
He's raising his arms. Like I think he wants people's attention. And this guy, the guy on first, is watching like a hawk.
Watching because a missed sign can turn a close game, even a World Series, on its head.
Guys miss signs all the time. It happens way too often.
Hugh Quattlebaum is an infielder for the Keys. He's 25, has played in the minors for 4 years.
The worst for me is when it's sort of a hit and run, when the runner gives himself up expecting you to swing the bat and you miss the sign. He gets thrown out by 20 feet, making him look bad. Then now you're letting down your teammate, and you know it's a friend of yours, and you feel real bad about that. So that makes a big difference when you miss those signs. So that'll sink in, and you know, you make that mistake once, you probably won't do it again.
And if you do miss a sign, there will be a fine. Here in the bottom rung of the minors, you might have to buy somebody an ice cream. But up the ranks, it'll cost you big time, though nobody wants to divulge exactly how much. Here in Frederick, the Cannons have another runner on first.
There he goes. Well,
there he goes, the steal, there was a sign there. He was told.
The players have signs to signal they've missed the sign from a coach. There might be a sign that a sign is canceled or reversed. How can they possibly keep track? Writer Paul Dixon says it's in their blood.
These guys are drilled with it. They're drilled with it from the time they're in Little League. They do it all the time. They work on it. I've been told they work on it in hotel lobbies. They work on it on the bus on the way to the park. It's what they do. And the last tool, everybody talks about a ball player's tools, you know, his various abilities. The last tool is intelligence. that's the last cut line. So these things are dynamic, and they are ever-changing, and they are complicated. But that's sort of what their survival is based on. See, he's going again, a hole, and he's pumping his fists together, he's touching his elbows. And there's somebody in this dugout in front of us trying to figure out what he's doing, who's watched this guy 20 times before.
The trick is to make the signs steel-proof so the other team can't figure out what's going on.
That's part of the whole thing. It's part of this choreography of deceit, and you're trying to trick the other people into thinking, you know, that something is going on when it isn't.
That means decoys, signs tossed in like chaff just to throw the other team off the scent.
I mean, the classic decoy is that everything the third base coach does is a decoy. Everything that he looks like he's fighting off a swarm of mosquitoes, and he's just standing around moving all these motions. And the real sign is coming from the first base coach, or it could be coming, in an extreme case, Tony La Russa. When Tony La Russa was at Oakland, he thought people were stealing his signs, so he set up the trainer who would use a tongue depressor to clean out the cleats. He'd use a tongue depressor to signal the signs. Connie Mack once said that the essence of sign stealing is trying to figure out who's actually giving the sign. And there's no rules. There's no reason that, you know, anybody can give the signs. You know, the ball girl could be giving the signs.
Now the Keys' first base coach makes a gesture.
Again, he's rubbing his stomach. Is that a sign? I doubt it. I think he's been a statue all the way along. He may just have an itch on his stomach.
There's a long and notorious history of sign stealing in baseball. A team member out somewhere behind a scoreboard with a spyglass or binoculars to figure out what pitch is coming, then signaling that to his batters. Most likely one for a fastball, two for a curve, three for a changeup.
The first time there's actually somebody caught stealing signs using the binoculars in a tent outside the park is in Hartford in the early 1870s. So it goes back to right to the beginning of the game.
It's always been part of the game.
Yeah.
And over the years, sign stealing has been refined. In 1900, the Phillies were stealing signs from the outfield with binoculars, then relaying them by Morse code through an underground telegraphic device to the third base coach, who would feel the vibrathrobs through his feet and in turn pass the signs on to the batter. Most famously, the New York Giants have admitted they were using a telescope to steal signs and a buzzer system to relay them in the 1951 playoff game against the Brooklyn Dodgers, which they ultimately won with Bobby Thompson's shot heard round the world. All of this, says Paul Dixon, hinges on the pace of baseball.
If it was a faster sport, all this stuff wouldn't work. Now the third base coach is going through another elaborate, he's probably up to a dozen signs.
He's doing it in time to the music too.
Right. And then he ends up with this clapping, which he's told the first guy in first to do something.
Sure enough, the runner on first makes a dash for second base.
He had the steal sign, and it didn't work.
By the end of the game, we're really no closer to figuring out the signs than we were when we started.
I mean, half the fun is looking at the game at a different level and just enjoying the fact that you really can't figure it out, but you know something's going on that the guy next to you might not know about, which is an elliptical way of saying it's very, very, very hard to decode these things.
Paul Dixon at Harry Grove Stadium in Frederick, Maryland, home of the Frederick Keys. His new book is called The Hidden Language of Baseball.